I was this close to saying good morning. So I'm so used to standing up in this pulpit and saying good morning. But it is not morning. It is Christmas Eve. It is Christmas Eve night, and we're in the middle of Texas, and I'm sweating profusely. Amen? I know we have a lot of snowbirds that like to come down to Bandera because it's not cold, but I was somewhat looking forward to at least some cool weather, but you got Texas. What can I say? But thank you for being here, the guests that we have with us this morning. I know we have several. Thank you this evening. Thank you for being here, and stay with us after the service. We're going to dismiss into a time of fellowship. We'll have some desserts. I cannot promise the health quality of the desserts, but I can promise that they're delicious. We're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship after the service. But we're here tonight on this last celebration of anticipation. As we celebrate the first Advent and come together looking forward to His return. We started our series several weeks ago asking, what are we waiting for? And we all know the answer to that question. We're waiting for Jesus. We've heard the cliche time and time again, Jesus is the reason for the season. We know what we're waiting for, but I think some of us, including even myself, as I was studying through the text over the last few weeks, were a bit caught off guard and surprised by the second Advent, what we still have to look forward to, and that being Jesus's return. You see, a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we saw that there was light. But even that light paled in comparison to the great light we will one day see at His glorious return. But the light He brought with Him still guides us each and every day. And the light that He's given us is His Word. We saw there was peace. But the peace that we see even in the first Advent, the incarnation of our Lord, doesn't compare to the peace that He will establish at His return. But the peace that He brought with us still calls us as Christians to be a people of peace, pursuing justice. And we saw that there was singing. But even the greatest song that David can sing, however beautiful that would be, David, amen, still doesn't compare to the song that we will one day sing in unison with all of the redeemed as we lift up our voices in praise to the King. But until that day, He still strengthens us, as we saw last week. He gives us a song to sing. And all of that comes to a head tonight and tomorrow. There is Jesus. But just as we saw that there was light, that there was peace, that there was singing at His first Advent, this is only a taste of what is to come. And until that glorious day of His return, the words of our text this evening give us an assuring reminder as we enjoy time with our families over the next couple of days as we celebrate this holiday season. And so look up Isaiah chapter 7 and turn to Isaiah 7 verses 10 through 14. And if you're able, stand with me as we read God's inerrant and inspired word. Isaiah 7 verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the privilege that we have tonight to open it, to study it, however briefly. We pray that You would open our eyes to the meanings behind these words as we look forward to Jesus' return while still celebrating His first appearance. Lord, we thank You for bringing us Jesus. We thank You for bringing us peace, bringing us hope, bringing us light, bringing us singing, all of these things that we get to celebrate at Christmas with our families. Most of all, Lord, tonight, help us to glorify You with every song that we sing, with every word that I preach, with every ounce of our fellowship, that you would be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Four candles now burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. Four candles glowing light, the blessing of God giving new sight. Now, as you can guess, tonight is going to be a little bit of a shorter sermon. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But while there's more to this passage and what we'll dig into tonight, it's yet another example of some of the partial fulfillments of these texts that we've studied over the last few weeks. The partial fulfillments there in Isaiah's day, the partial fulfillment in the Lord's birth 2,000 years ago, the future fulfillment that we look forward to at His return. And one of those that we see in our text, if we're just going to consider some context here, is that Isaiah is really talking about two babies here. And this came to be a surprise for me. He was speaking of two babies. One, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, that's obvious. But the other was Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. I'm not going to try to say that again. But he was born less than a year later to Isaiah and his wife. That was a prophecy that Isaiah had given to his people, to his audience, that before that baby, whose name I'm not going to say again, was even to be weaned, the enemy kings that they were facing would be dead. That gave them some hope in their not too distant future, but yet they looked forward to this Messiah, the Messiah that we see. And on our side of history, we have experienced his coming, and we rejoice in that. We give thanks to that our Messiah has come. But then just like the Israelites still had to look forward to the Messiah in his initial appearance, since Jesus has come and on our side of history, now we wait for his return. And we do so with the assurance that God keeps his promises. Jesus, the Messiah, our King, has come. He came just as the Lord promised through prophets like Isaiah, where even his name was a name and a message of hope for us when we struggle to find light in a world of darkness, struggle to find singing in a world that tries to steal our song, struggle to find peace in a world of chaos. So I want you to look back at verse 14. That's all we're going to focus on tonight. Verse 14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And as we see in that text, we have our focus tonight will be a sign, a son, and a message of hope. I wanted to say a song of hope, but that was just me trying to alliterate. It's really a message of hope for us that he is Emmanuel. So walk through that verse a bit and see some of these things yourself. What is a sign? The virgin. This is Mary. What will she do? She will conceive and bear a son. What will it be? She will call his name Emmanuel. And so we unpacked that a little bit last week, but let's unpack that story a little bit tonight. We know this story. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. She was just your normal, average, ordinary girl that God was about to use in an extraordinary way. When Mary was betrothed to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, before they came together as one, she found out she was pregnant. Oops. Uh-oh. Lucy's got some splaining to do. But the child was from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, though, being a just man, didn't want to put her to shame, so decided to divorce her quietly. But as he did this, an angel of the Lord showed up in a dream and saying, "Joseph, son of David, what on earth are you doing?" Really, he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And this sounds familiar tonight, because behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. An ordinary girl packing an extraordinary present in her belly. It was Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. And they were told to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about that for a second. God with us. God with you. You're not alone in this world. It's not as if God walked away from you when bad news happened. It's not as if God turned his back on you when your house went up into flames, or you got diagnosed with cancer, or you lost a job or a loved one. God did not run away from you in those times. He was with you, and He was still for you. He's not some distant, uninvolved power that sits back and just hopes for the best. He is with us. And then we see in our Savior that He was tempted just as we're tempted, but He didn't sin. As a carpenter, He probably got plenty of splinters, but didn't curse as I probably would. Amen. Amen. And He certainly struggled with the sand and the heat and the cold, just like we do. Yet in all of that, we also find out that He had no place to lay His head. Yet He didn't sin. Not in the slightest. He lived perfectly, but that wasn't enough. His perfection wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that He lived perfectly. He also had to give up His life on our behalf. He laid down His life on the cross of Calvary, was buried, 3 days later rose again, ascended on high, and one day will come again. And so why tell a bit of the Easter story on Christmas? I mean, after all, we're supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus today. Why talk about a death, and a cross, an empty tomb? Because it's inseparable. Those two things are inseparable. The stories come together. Without the manger, without the virgin, without that not so silent night, there never would have been the cry from the cross, "It is finished." And without the empty tomb, that manger filled with stinky animals, shepherds, and brand spanking new parents fawning over baby Jesus would have been nothing more than you or me holding a newborn baby for the first time. They're inseparable. And that's our message of hope for Christmas. He is Jesus, our Emmanuel, in that He is not just God with us, but because of the cross of Calvary, He can be God for us, not against us. And that's our so what for us this evening. When we come to Christ in faith alone, by grace alone, we come to Christ alone for salvation. That salvation purchased on the cross of Calvary is what takes us out from under the wrath of God and places us under the grace of God, because Jesus exchanges our sin, our filth, our wrath for His righteousness. And we're welcomed into God's family as His own sons and daughters for His glory alone. That gospel message is all found throughout Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, but knowing that isn't enough. Reading the Christmas story each December ain't enough either. Even knowing that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and this whole for you, not against you thing isn't enough. Heck, even coming here week in and week out isn't enough. What's enough? It's more than reading. It's more than knowing. It's more than coming. It's believing. After Mary was told about that babe in her belly, Luke said, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Mary believed. Joseph believed. They were about to welcome the newborn King of the universe, who was, who is to come, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, as a precious 8-pound newborn baby. Actually, I have no idea how much he weighed. That's irrelevant. You get the point. They were about to welcome the newborn King of the universe. Jesus grew up, never sinned. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried 3 days later, rose again, proving that His sacrifice was enough. He ascended on high, and one day He will return and welcome us into His home forever and ever and ever. And so the question for us tonight is, do you believe? The Scriptures say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Amen? And so do you believe? We're about to take communion together, which is something we have the privilege of doing each week here at the church. And we welcome all who have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, believed on the Lord Jesus for salvation, to celebrate this time with us. Some of our men are now going to pass out trays of bread and juice, and I want you to take one of the pieces of bread, one of the cups of juice, and hold on to it for just a second. musicians are going to play. As our men pass these out, I want to share a few things that as you're receiving these elements that you consider. As you take the bread, which symbolizes our Lord's body broken on your behalf, I want you to take just a moment to reflect on the pain He experienced for you. No matter what pain you experience in life, He is with us. And He is with us in those moments of darkness. As you also take the juice, which symbolizes our Lord's blood poured out on our behalf, take a moment to reflect on His sacrifice. He gave His life for you. Therefore, there is no sacrifice too great that we can make for Him. And as you receive these together, we'll take them together once I get mine. Matthew 26:26 says this, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Then it says He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And as we prepare to draw this night to a close, if you would like to visit more about finding out who this Jesus is, if you need prayer, feel free to visit with me after the service. But now we get to enjoy one of my favorite traditions here at Pipe Creek Community Church. And so I ask you to stand up. And this building is not necessarily in the shape of a circle. And so this will not be the best circle that you made in pre-K or kindergarten. But I ask you to circle up around the chairs. Pass it down. There we go. And just pass it on down. About to blow out. Get y'all started. Get you started over here.
My dad wouldn't give me a real one.
He didn't trust you with flames. Right behind you, brother. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory streams from heaven above, when we all sing alleluia, just the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord.